From NPR, it's Latino USA. 9 years ago, after September 11th, we all felt united in the face of fear and despair. But have those fears turned into anger and hate?
We have declared September the 11th International Burn a Quran Day.
On today's program, we remember September 11th with voices from a different side of Islam. People don't think about Latinos as Muslims, but in fact, there are a surprising number of them. In Guatemala, one man found refuge from violence in a new faith.
Islam is not terrorism. Islam is not violence. Islam is peace.
Yeah. And from Canada, The Narcissist, an Iraqi Muslim rapper, is using music to provoke thought. That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us. Stop me if you've heard this before. More and more illegal aliens are flooding across the U.S.-Mexico border every day, and they're displacing Americans all over the country. Sounds familiar, right? Well, the problem is that it's not exactly true. According to a new study by the Pew Hispanic Center, unauthorized immigration is actually way down in the last few years. From 2007 to 2009, the number of undocumented immigrants living in the United States declined by 8%. So, there's a few questions that this study has raised in my mind, and to help me answer them, I've called up Ruben Martinez. He's a journalist, a musician, and author of several books, including The New Americans. Welcome to Latino USA, Ruben.
Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
So, Ruben, I wanted to just kind of get your first take. You have been looking at immigration issues for a long time, Latino issues for a long time during your career. When you saw these numbers coming out from the Pew Hispanic Center, what went on for you?
I have to say that immediately I thought, duh, right? Anybody who's been looking with their eyes wide open can see that the economy has been driving both immigration into the United States and now in this case, and with a crash economy, pushing people out of the United States. During the ramp up to the boom years, beginning right after 9/11, when the economy started coming back, we saw numbers rising steadily through the middle of the decade and peaking somewhere around 2007, which just happens to coincide with the peak of one of the biggest economic boom periods in American history. But ever since 2007, as you were noting, the numbers have plummeted. We're talking about the movement of a million people, in some cases back to their home countries. In some cases, people were moving back and forth and just ended up staying back in the old country because they saw that the job situation was just not conducive to the American dream right now. So what we're seeing is what has been going on all along in American immigration history.
The Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection said this week that complete sealing of the U.S.-Mexico border is actually unrealistic. So why do we have this national obsession with trying to do just that? I mean, no matter how much money and troops, drugs come through, people come through, arms make their way down to Mexico. So is there a way, Ruben, at this moment, or are we stuck in, the pre-election cycle, so forget about it? Is there a way to change the debate over this when you are looking at it from a factual place?
Even as, rhetoric has gone off the deep end in many cases, there are moments like the Washington Post just a couple of days ago, the former Foreign Secretary of Mexico and one of the leading intellectuals of Mexico writing an op-ed in support of legalizing drugs in California. There's a ballot initiative, as you may know, in California right now that would legalize marijuana. And why, you might ask, a former Foreign Secretary of Mexico casting a vote for a California ballot initiative? Well, because it's a global issue. They're saying that if there's legalization of marijuana in California, they would take the wind out of the sails of narco business and therefore cut down on violence. Now, whether or not you buy this argument, something has been put forth that had not been part of the discussion beforehand. In Mexico City 10, 15 years ago, you did not hear leading intellectuals and politicians saying, yes, let's have a debate. Things have gotten to the point now where people are saying, this has got to stop. The deaths in the desert, the violence on the border, the killings in Juarez, the drug abuse in the United States, all these things are entwined together, and voices are now rising and saying, hey, it's time to really have a debate.
Hear, hear. Thank you so much for joining us, Ruben.
Thank you, Maria.
Ruben Martinez is a journalist, musician, and professor at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. He's also the host of the upcoming documentary on PBS, When Worlds Collide. And we end this week in review with a news note about a small town in Texas called Tomball. Their story didn't make headlines because perhaps it doesn't fall into the script of the Divided America story. But this week, Tomball, Texas, voted down two anti-immigrant ordinances, one that made English the official language and another that would bar undocumented immigrants from renting or owning property. And it's reported that the town of Tomball, Texas, fought back against what they saw as Tea Party infiltrators who wanted to close down a day labor site. Latino USA is back in 30 seconds. No se vayan. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The deaths in 2001 at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and in a field in Pennsylvania seem at once to have been just yesterday and, in a sense, a generation ago. Families and communities still actively grieve. But this weekend, much is being written about a pastor in Florida. And for more than a month, there's been debate about the development of a piece of property a few blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood. The emotions are raw. The words are sometimes unthinking. The wounds of 9/11 have not healed. Over the last 9 years, America has continued to come to terms with its diversity, including its religious diversity. Human beings often go in search of answers, and many find those answers in religion. On today's program, we meet a man who is on a spiritual journey, one that's led him to a sense of personal peace and morality through Islam. Futuro Media Group's Yasmin Qureshi has this story.
David Gonzalez has traveled thousands of miles to Washington, D.C., just so he can meet and mingle with other Muslims in his community. He's at a conference for a community called the Ahmadiyya Muslims. David stands out from the rest of the community because, unlike the other men, he's not wearing a shalwar kameez, the traditional outfit worn by an Ahmadiyya Muslim. And he's not South Asian, he's Guatemalan.
One time someone told me that I'm condemned to the fire because I don't believe that Jesus is God.
Guatemala is a country that is 98% Christian. And like most of his friends, David was baptized Catholic and attended a strict religious school in Guatemala City. So when he decided to convert to Islam 8 years ago, his family was shocked.
In the beginning, my grandmothers, they told me many times about the baptism. You are a Catholic because of your baptism. And I say, you never asked me. But now, by the grace of God, they are happy with me. It's a challenge, of course, but it's not hard when your faith is strong.
David says he always had questions about his religion, and his doubts got stronger as he saw horrifying violence during the Civil War in Guatemala. And he couldn't understand the hatred between Protestants and Catholics in his country. So he began a journey of discovery.
I decided to start to study Jewish, Hinduism, Buddhism, to see who has the truth. And the last religion that I studied was Islam. And I found all answers of my questions.
He says in Islam he found what he was looking for, acceptance and tolerance. And he believes that that is the real essence of the religion.
Islam is not terrorism, Islam is not violence. And our job is to teach the people what is the real Islam. And Islam is peace. And after that attack, the people believe the Muslims are fighters or terrorists, but our community in whole world teach that is not true, and the real Muslim is a peaceful people.
There aren't a lot of mosques in Guatemala, but he did find one on the outskirts of Guatemala City, an Ahmadiyya mosque that is home to a small community of about 50 people. Islam is not known as a religion that proselytizes, but many years ago, the founder of the Ahmadiyya community decided to send missionaries to Latin America to spread the religion's message.
I have been going to Guatemala since 1988.
Wasim Mehdi was one of the first people to go to Guatemala from his community. He learned to speak Spanish and traveled back and forth enthusiastically from his home in Canada. He was surprised by the Guatemalan people's openness, and he says even in 1989, during the Civil War, the people welcomed him and his religion.
The vice president of the country came to our inauguration of the mosque. This shows, in my opinion, that the people of Guatemala and the administration is very open and very much accepting the fact that in today's age, you have to have the freedom of religion.
In the United States, the Ahmadiyya community wants to grow, and they want people to know that Islam as a religion does not stand for violence. This summer, the community started an advertising campaign called Muslims for Peace. They're handing out flyers in U.S. cities, and they've put up ads on the sides of New York buses.
If we do not, as Muslims who believe our faith has been hijacked, stand up and start reacting the way a person who has had his son kidnapped, if we don't start reacting like that, then something is wrong. Either we don't love Islam or we don't value having lost it. So we in the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the United States are shouting at the top of our voice that Islam is not this, and we're calling on all Muslims in the United States to stand up and say this and tell this to the children or the other people who are propagating the stuff that is sensational, that gets a lot of press. With very little effort, they're going to win over the children that are our greatest asset.
Wasim and David have become good friends, and David, like Wasim, is hoping he can use the message of Islam to create change in Guatemala. This is a country where 200,000 people were killed in the Civil War. Drugs and corruption are rampant, and every day another body turns up as a part of the country's out-of-control murder rate.
In Guatemala and the whole world, we can see the people don't have spiritual and moral values, and that produces problems in society. And we hope that through Islam, the people can find a right way to do the things in life. And inshallah, primero Dios, God willing, in Guatemala we will break all these bad thinkings about Islam.
For Latino USA, I'm Yasmin Qureshi.
The images of September 11th are so hard to watch. But when you see those images, you see the destruction, the chaos, the sadness. But since then, other images have come to form our psyche as well. Muslim men, as threats and terrorists, contorted, hooded men in orange jumpsuits. Now, to some, those images, that reality, is the price of our security, life at the turn of the century. But for others, those images represent something else entirely, a life with racial profiling, with insecurity, with torture and exclusion. Which is why I was so struck when I saw a music video by an MC who goes by the name of The Narcissist. In the video for this song, Fatwa, the narcissist uses some powerful images. So there he is, getting pulled out of the security line at the airport, getting frisked and questioned. And then there's the narcissist rhyming in an interrogation room, flanked by hooded men in those orange jumpsuits, their heads covered as if they were in Abu Ghraib. But they're dancing to the hip-hop beat, a powerful commentary on racial profiling and what it means to look Arab or Muslim in our country today.
Everybody, we live in dead hog, give him a fatwa, bless God.
I get recorded somewhere.
These feds like, come on, let's talk.
The Narcissist, or Narcy, as his friends call him, joins me on the line now from Montreal, Canada, where he lives. Welcome to Latino USA, Narcy.
Thank you for having me at Latino USA, Maria.
So, your music is really amazing. But when I read your bio, I was even more intrigued because you were born in Dubai of Iraqi family, and then you moved to Canada how long ago?
I moved to Canada in 1987.
1987. And how old were you then?
I was 5, and then I left here when I was a teenager to go back to the Middle East to live there for a bit. And then I came back here for my university studies, and I've been back ever since. So I really traveled between the two coasts, if you will.
So you were raised Muslim, and you still are a practicing Muslim?
Yes, I was born Muslim, and I will die Muslim.
The video that I saw for the song Fatwa,
mm-hmm.
and that's spelled P-H-A-T-W-A, Fatwa. That's a pretty incredible video. It's you kind of going into an airport and getting ready to be racially profiled. And I was wondering how many people actually think about that. You know, if you are a man of color and if you are a Muslim man or an Arab man, you have to walk into an airport kind of setting yourself up, getting ready for that.
I think we all do. You know, there's a line I say in the song, when I see an Arab man at the airport, I wonder what he's there for. You know, it's funny because the paranoia got to us at one point, you know. I wanted to tackle it in a way that was not lighthearted, but showing the ludicrous things that happen at airports and the paranoia that is birthed out of it and how unreal it is and how unnecessary it is. And it was fun to deal with these issues in a way that's digestible to people who don't think about these issues, because then you make them think about it.
Some things I'm unsure of, like an Arab man at an airport. When you wonder what he stands for, therefore I stand up for land stuck near war in tandem. Passport control, where I'm picked at random. Damn, son,
everybody
feels safer than we do. Your plots are see-through.
I get deported somewhere.
So on this 9th anniversary of September 11th, here you are, this Canadian, Iraqi, immigrant, North American young man. What's going on in your heart?
I bid, you know, the best of intentions and you know, love to all the families that lost people, and hope they feel the same way about the families that lost people in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that, you know, as a humanity, as a human civilization, as a planet, we have to realize that these acts are being committed in our name, and people are dying worldwide because of criminality that goes on in our power structures. So, you know, I just, I pray for a better day, man. I can't say anything but that.
Thanks so much for joining us on Latino USA, Narcy.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for supporting me at NPR, and I hope one day I can return the favor.
The Narcissist is an MC based in Montreal, Canada. For more information about his music and about a project documenting the real lives and faces of Muslims around the world, go to our website at latinousa.org.
Make a track, erase the past that we missing. Alhamdulillah, we spoke so right, we listen wrong. Living raw more than the living song.
We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. In Los Angeles, MacArthur Park is a popular destination for families looking to relax and to play after a busy work week, especially for the large immigrant community that lives nearby. MacArthur Park was also the site of large immigrant rights demonstrations in 2007. Those turned violent after police were accused of using excessive force to disperse the nonviolent crowds. This week, a Guatemalan immigrant was shot by police in an incident that has drawn large protests from the community, a community still distrustful of the LAPD. Frank Stoltz of KPCC in Los Angeles has our story.
Here at the corner of 6th Street and Union Avenue, in the shadow of skyscrapers a mile away, burning candles, flowers, and small photos of Manuel Jimenez sit just a few feet from where a police officer fatally shot the 37-year-old Guatemalan immigrant. Claudio Hernandez is a day laborer who would wait for work with Jimenez outside the nearby Home Depot almost every day.
Oh, but, sí, buena persona.
Well, he was a nice guy. He just had a drinking problem, but there was no matter what the cops did to him. He was a hard worker. He didn't mean no problems. What the police did is unfair. They treated him like an animal.
Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck said officers responded around 1 o'clock in the afternoon to reports of an intoxicated man threatening women with a knife. He said when they confronted Jimenez, he lunged at them with the weapon. One officer fired 2 shots in immediate defense of his life. The chief drew boos when he tried to say that to a raucous community meeting.
Please, let's respect each other. Let's hear each other speak.
Chief Beck tried again.
Buenos tardes. Llame es Charlie Beck. El jefe de policía in Los Angeles.
Beck said officers ordered Jimenez to drop the knife in English and Spanish. But those who knew Jimenez said he was from the Quiché region of Guatemala and spoke only an indigenous Mayan language. Police have arrested dozens of people during protests, but one woman said it was the LAPD that was the problem.
Get your troops out of the area. Every night you incite trouble by your presence in riot gear.
Many political leaders express surprise at the level of anger. Ray Regalado is with the Los Angeles County Human Relations Commission. He's been on the streets urging calm and found fresh memories of the clash between police and immigrant rights marchers 3 years ago in MacArthur Park, a few blocks away.
The story in MacArthur Park, that book isn't completely closed yet. I think there are still some very frayed feelings in and around that.
Regalado suggested Arizona's immigration law has raised anxiety levels. He said high unemployment, it's 14% in L.A., and a crackdown on street vendors may also be adding fuel to the fires. And he noted that unlike the Mexican-American and Salvadoran communities here, Guatemalans have fewer political organizations that would give them a sense of empowerment. On the streets, condemnation of police was hardly universal. One woman noted crime is down thanks to more patrols. Near the sidewalk shrine for Jimenez, Maria Elena Garcia said she too supports the officers. Garcia said police are never rude to people. She said if you're minding your own business, they're there to make sure things are okay. And she said Jimenez must have been doing something wrong to get shot. A small crowd tried to shout Garcia down. As the shouts faded, Claudio Hernandez turned quiet. He wondered what would happen to his friend's wife and 3 children back in Guatemala.
He says that now this person has passed away, so who's going to feed their kids? Who's going to take care of his wife? The government ain't going to do none of that. So,
meantime, protesters have promised to keep the heat on police, who've promised a full and transparent investigation of the shooting. For Latino USA, I'm Frank Stoltz in Los Angeles.
And finally this week, well, I could share some personal thoughts with you about my tan that I worked on in the Dominican Republic this summer, but writer Michelle Cerros has a lot more to say about a great summer tan than I do.
September. Typically the month when kids across the nation return back to school sporting new binders, new backpacks, and of course that highly coveted symbol of status, the summer tan. That is, unless you were a kid from my family.
As a fourth-generation Californian, I was taught at an early age from my grandparents, elderly tías and tíos, my own father, that the accessory you did not flaunt on the first day of school was that summer tan. Confused by such a notion, I asked my great-aunt Lydia why, as well as what was the reason for keeping my cousins, sister, and me completely lathered head to toe in all things SPF 100. Great-aunt Lydia answered in a tone that implied my questioning was absurd. "It's because you're Mexican," she pointed out. "What, you think others will think you spent the summer on the beach or at the pool like the other kids? Nuh-uh, no way. Come September, when people see us with extra color, they just assume we worked in the fields. Again." And that was her answer. One, I really didn't like hearing, because basically what she was saying was, being Mexican, a dark Mexican, a tanned Latino, that was not a good thing. And while a golden glow emulating off of fair-skinned classmates boasted a summer spent basking in the sun rays, the deep and dark brownness on my skin could only reveal one thing: hard, hard labor. And while such labor endured by my family allowed my sister, cousins, and me to never know such a reality, it was coincidentally that I was just recently invited to engage in, if you will, such field work. As a resident of New York City, a few colleagues of mine, non-Latino, invited me to spend an afternoon at one of those pick-your-own produce farms. It's a place where you can pay a moderate fee to spend an entire afternoon picking organic apples. "It'll be fun," one of my friends claimed, "and we could work on our tans." Work on our tans. The juxtaposition was suddenly laughable. Even so, I looked over the website for the apple farm that promoted what they called fun-filled family excursions. The photos on the website featured blonde, blue-eyed children with a cherub-like quality. Ripe apples are clenched in their eager, pale hands, and apple juice glistens on their lips. I look over the website images, sigh, and wonder, how did someone in my own family ever start that obligatory back-to-school essay, "What I Did for My Summer Vacation," that didn't involve swimming, camping, or hiking, but rather a summer spent rising at 4 a.m. each morning to stoop, pick, stretch, pick, lug, run, fling, ache. 10 hours a day in sun-scorched Central Californian orchards and fields. For me, it's a summer vacation too painful to ever imagine.
And for this week, that's Latino USA. The program is a production of the Futuro Media Group, online at futuromediagroup.org, in association with KUT Austin. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds working to maximize the effectiveness of charitable giving at fjc.org, and the Kauffman Foundation, educating entrepreneurs about how to start and grow businesses through Kauffman Fast Track at fasttrack.org, and from Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. This is NPR.